content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small-batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza. We have Reynaldo on the controls and Tina Burnett in studio with us today. And we've got Dr. Sarah Ballantyne coming up too. So lots of good information. What are we talking about, Tina? Oh, here it is. How much of aging is in our control?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know.
There's a lot we can do to avoid a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Aging, coronavirus, et cetera, et cetera. You know what just popped in my mind? Told you I'd think of something. It's like all of a sudden I meant to say this. So did y'all hear that South by Southwest
might be canceled?
Like, might going to be canceled? So many people are pulling out.
Yeah, I read that on the news. All of the expos, festivals, Coachella is happening soon.
People have lost their minds. And I have to say, I think the media is totally stirring this up into making it bigger than it is. Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone except for One Life Radio, that is. And there's viruses. There's been viruses since the beginning of time, and they're never going to go away. And there's going to be new ones every year, every couple of years. We just need to keep ourselves strong and our immune systems strong. And so you can fight off almost anything, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the key. Like I said, I would bet money on it that the people that have actually died from it were already not in good health.
Well, I mean,
not necessarily sick, but your immune system is key. And if you don't have a strong immune system from eating healthy, it's like kind of what I'm going to talk about today. Eating healthy, taking care of yourself, exercising, not smoking, not drinking too much. I mean, all those
things. Living in filth, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, think about, from what I've heard, what Wuhan's like.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not the cleanest place on the
exactly.
planet.
That's what I thank
That's
you for.
We were talking about that yesterday. When we were working out.
I mean, when you have a virus growing and you can't get to a clean place or a place that is germ free or at least clean, you know.
Yeah.
No place is germ free. There's germs everywhere, but it's like it's got to be a case by case study. And people are absolutely losing their minds. The Expo West was canceled. It's one of the biggest events in the health and natural food industry, and it was canceled. And everybody's like, what?
It was canceled the week of, which is even more crazy. Exhibitors were already there to set up. People were already
millions
making
of
their
dollars are being lost because of this.
Well, and I think it's to create hysteria, in my opinion, to push the mandates that they want to push for more vaccines.
Oh, yeah.
Because the
they're already working on it.
Oh, my God. What did I read last night? I've totally forgot about it. It was right as I was falling asleep. I think
about
I took a
vaccines?
Screenshot of. No, it's about how. I'll find it. I'll find it. I can't even believe I forgot about it. But I didn't want to get back up out of bed. No, the Chinese have the stock market. Let me think. Okay.
Was it the thing you sent us yesterday?
No. It's about the oh my God, Chinese pharmaceutical companies. Calm down, Bernadette, because I'm so excited when I read stuff. Because when you start putting two to two together, you're like, aha, like a scientist in a laboratory, you know? Like, seriously. But it was where's my phone? You guys talk, and I'm going to try to find it, because it was that good. It was that good. Go ahead.
Well, the death rates are dropping in Wuhan. So,
well, I mean, and the thing is, too, if you look at the total number of cases and how many of those cases that people actually died, well, it's a pretty small percentage.
For sure.
You know, it's like a flu.
And compared
when the last big flu thing came and kids were dying of this flu. I mean, I don't know why they're making such a
I think people are just more worried because it's never been here in the States. Or this strain, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. It talks about entrepreneurs in China specializing in vaccinations that performed solid, including the Kong, I guess that's a stock, K-A-N-G, of Hulan Biological Engineering. Their stock was up by 23%. Because of the coronavirus,
up?
Yeah. Because
what do they sell?
And what was it? Says
a lot of their stocks that went down over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
the Corona beer stocks went down.
I feel so sorry for the people.
Show it was, but they said that 35% of Americans believe that you can contract coronavirus from drinking the
beer. Here it
beer.
Is. Okay, yeah. So the coronavirus.
Dumb.
Like, oh, you know who was talking about that was Bo and Jim. I was listening to them
yeah,
the
and
other
ben
morning,
and, Skin
and they were talking about how that's
35%
of the people actually think that if they drink Corona beer, they'll get the virus. It's like, oh,
that tells
that
you
if they
something
drink,
in itself.
Are you serious?
Bo was like, is there people really that dumb out there?
Yep.
And Jim was like, yep.
Wow.
I love this.
That can't be real.
No, it's definitely true. I've heard it from three different shows.
Gosh.
Yeah. They were talking about it on KISS.
Well, that doesn't necessarily
too.
Mean it's true. I don't know. I find that hard to believe. How could 35% of the population be that ignorant?
There's
not the world,
America. There's a lot of uneducated people around here.
Well, I know, but still have common sense. Well, here's what it was. It was basically a piece on billionaires. The richest people in the world, the new numbers just came out and who got richer, who lost money. But it was about the coronavirus and it mentioned the coronavirus and that the coronavirus has resulted in mini booms for China. Pharmaceuticals doing vaccines, online education and online games, whilst causing share prices of hospitality and travel to drop within schools, with schools shut since Chinese New Year. Online education providers are up and blah, blah, blah. But the producers of vaccines are up this one company by 23%. And you know, it's always about the money. It's always about the money. At the root of anything evil, the root of it is money and greed. I wasn't planning on talking about vaccines and I don't really want to because I get so upset when I talk about it because I have read so much about it, starting back 25 years ago with Dr. Robert Mendelsohn about how we are an overvax. And that was before 1986, I think. I actually carry his book with me, and I wasn't prepared to talk about this. But, you know, this is what you need to know. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's corruption and greed, there's going to be lies that will be told to cover them up.
Yep.
And we all need to open our minds and just talk about this subject and talk about it without people being censored. The fact that we are being censored in this country about any subject, let alone something that affects the children and the future of this country or the world, because we're a world society now, we really are, it needs to be examined. It's wrong. And if there's somebody doing something wrong, it needs the curtain needs to be pulled down on them, for sure.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. Yep. That's what...
Guys keep getting me started right out of the gate.
Things are covered up and hidden.
Let them know.
I was watching...
There's so much corruption. Oh, my God. It's everywhere. And it's the root is money. We were watching what? What were you going to say?
Well, it's kind of on this topic, but when we were talking about just how things are censored and things are covered up, you know, there was a show on Netflix about this little boy that was 8 years old, and what's his name? I think the last name's Hernandez, and they did a Netflix series on it. This little boy's parents had beaten and abused him for 6 months that his mother had him. He had been living with his grandmother before that, and I don't know what the logistics were about him being, but they were trying to, basically, it was like, how did it come to this point where the mother finally called police because she says he slipped in the toilet. Well, they bring him in. Did you hear about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Gabriel Fernandez.
Gabriel Fernandez.
It's the saddest.
It is the saddest
documentary on Netflix.
I started watching it on Netflix and I had to stop because I couldn't handle it. But they actually ended up, and I haven't seen what happened, but they brought in the social workers. There was four mm-hmm. social workers that the parents had the sister and brother lie to the social workers and say that, you know, everything was fine. Mm-hmm. When they knew the parents were locking him in a box, gagging him, beating him, shooting him with BB guns, dragging him. And he
would go to school with bite marks and scratches. Yeah.
The teachers knew. They were burning him with cigarettes and everything. Yeah. And
it's sad.
Everyone knew when the system failed him.
The system failed him. And I was just thinking, how does something like that slip through the crack? They had social workers on him, and they actually were charging the social workers with felonies.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it happens a lot. There's so much red tape. I used to work for family court in New York State. I was the assistant court clerk. I talked about this the other day. And I mean, there were some of the most horrendous, just like that, stories and pictures and everything that we were exposed to. And it was just awful. I think of this one little girl. She had long red hair. And when she died at 6 years old, she weighed 26 pounds, I believe. Something like that.
He was tiny.
They kept her in a closet. I mean, you hear about these things and you think, oh my gosh, why are people, how can people be so messed up and so mentally ill and just so cruel? And I don't know.
They never
I don't have the answers.
Anything about them being on drugs or anything? And I was thinking, are they just really that evil that they would? I mean, and the man was the woman's boyfriend, and he was like this 6'2" giant man.
He was the muscle behind the beatings.
And the little boy was only like 4'1".
Yeah, he got sentenced to death.
He's on death row. Mm-hmm. I did see that, and she got sentenced to life. Thank God. But you know,
I couldn't finish it.
Wow,
I couldn't. I had to turn it off.
What are you guys doing watching stuff like that?
It popped up on my phone. I was like, I want to go see what that's about.
It was all over my social media feed.
I couldn't watch it. That's the thing. That's where I saw it, was on the social media. And I was like, I'm going to go check that out. And I'm glad
all this happy talk.
Let's change the subject. Jeez. We're going to talk health and wellness later.
I promise you, we're going to have a happier show moving forward. So don't tune out. Stay tuned. Dr. Sarah Ballantyne is going to be on. She's a PhD, and she's going to be talking about busting the myths of intermittent fasting. And Tina Burnett, how much of aging is in our control? Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo, Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, Tina Burnett, and I have Dr. Sarah Ballantyne. She is a PhD. I have her on the line. She is the creator of the award-winning online resource, thepaleomom.com. She is the New York Times bestselling author of Paleo Principles, The Paleo Approach, and The Paleo Approach Cookbook, and The Healing Kitchen. Sarah earned her doctorate degree in medical biophysics by the age of 26, and Sarah's health journey included losing 120 pounds and using both diet and lifestyle to mitigate and reverse a dozen diagnosed health conditions. Sarah is deeply interested in understanding how the foods we eat interact with our gut barriers, immune systems, and hormones to influence health. She is also deeply interested in the impact of lifestyle factors like sleep, stress, and activity. I love this woman. I can't wait to see her at Paleo FX. I know she'll be there. Welcome, Sarah Ballantyne. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me back on the show.
Yeah, it's been a while. Are you going to be at the Paleo FX again this year?
Actually, right now, it looks like I won't be able to make it this year.
Oh, doggone it.
Which will be the first time that I have missed in 7 years.
Wow.
But it is an amazing event, and I highly encourage everybody listening right now to check it out, because it is just so dynamic, and I'm sure I won't be missed.
I think you might be missed. You might want to change your mind if you can, but if not, we'll see you the year after, or maybe before.
For
always
sure.
Reach out to us if you're in Dallas. We'll have you in studio on the air. But
that would be so fun.
Yeah, it would. It's fun. It is fun. And what's fun is, you know, educating people. There's so much knowledge that you have as a doctor that I want you to share with us today. And our particular subject that we're focusing on is busting the myths of intermittent fasting. Okay, so everybody's intermittent fasting. Everybody's got a podcast, and everybody's taking CBD oil, right?
That's right. Those seem to be the two most high buzz hot topics these days. Well, my issue with intermittent fasting is that the recommendations that people are hearing on how to do it is the complete opposite of how to do it.
Really? Okay. So let's start with some of the recommendations that are you feel that are myths, that are not actually in your best interest.
So what's interesting about intermittent fasting is that the original sort of interest in this technique came out of a lot of animal studies, and the human studies have been much less interesting in terms of the magnitude of the effect. So they've really been underwhelming. And the first few clinical trials that looked at intermittent fasting in humans actually showed that all of the benefit was attributable to the fact that people were consuming a little bit less calories than they normally would because they were eating over a shorter period of time. It's called a time-restricted feeding window. Mm-hmm. And that they could attribute all of the benefits that those people were experiencing to the fact that they lost some weight. And losing weight when you're overweight is generally beneficial.
Right.
There have been in the last couple of years a few more studies that have done some caloric control to be able to tease out whether or not there's any additional benefit to intermittent fasting beyond that weight loss. And they have shown that if we restrict the time window that we're eating our food in, that there is a small metabolic advantage. But here's the catch. Mm-hmm. It happens when our time-restricted feeding window occurs early in the day, meaning that we eat breakfast soon after waking up and that maybe we eat our dinner around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Whoa.
So really what we're doing is we're skipping dinner, not skipping breakfast. Mm-hmm. When we do it the other way around and we skip breakfast, which is the way you're hearing intermittent fasting being described in most places,
Yeah. It
actually increases inflammation. And also makes us more insulin resistant later
really?
In the day when we finally do eat, which are both bad things.
Yeah.
So there is a small advantage. It's about 90 extra calories a day that we can burn by restricting our feeding window to early in the day. 90 extra calories translates to burning about an extra pound every 6 weeks.
Really?
That's like nothing.
Yeah.
And,
right,
okay,
exactly.
So,
gosh.
Well, you know, there's so much information out there about this. You know, Ben Greenfield's new book just came out, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff in here, too, about fasting. So you're saying, to recap, that we should do it the opposite of how we've been told. We should eat breakfast. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Eat breakfast and then have an early dinner and don't snack or graze after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way to get the metabolic benefits without paying for them with increased inflammation and decreased insulin sensitivity.
Well, you know, I've kind of switched over to that because I have to. And here's why for me, because you have to have something in your stomach when you take your supplements. And I've been taking a lot of supplements lately, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but I have switched things around and I actually do feel better having breakfast. It's kind of like when I have breakfast, I'm not as ravenous or hungry later in the evening, like around, you know, I eat now around 6 o'clock and then that's it for the evening, 6 or 7 o'clock instead of.
There's a lot of studies supporting that as a really healthy way to approach eating. So there's studies showing that even if we just restrict our feeding to 12 hours, so say you have breakfast at 6 or 7 in the morning and dinner at 6 or 7 in the evening, that even that eating pattern can reduce risk of cardiovascular disease. It can reduce risk of diabetes. And there's tons of separate data showing that eating breakfast helps us make better choices the rest of the day. It controls cravings. It controls appetite. It decreases our risk of cardiovascular disease by 55% just eating breakfast regularly.
Really?
Yes. So it's a really huge impact, and it really boils down to what's called circadian rhythm. So it's how our bodies prioritize different functions based on whether it's day or night. And they've actually found this in the intermittent fasting studies in rodents, that if they time that feeding window for overnight, so rodents are nocturnal, they would normally be active and mostly eat at night, that's when they have benefits. If those rodents' feeding window is during the day, they don't have any benefits from intermittent fasting. And so humans, we need to do the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We are designed to be more active early in the morning and throughout the day. And so it makes sense when you look at that data that we're really well programmed for eating breakfast and setting ourselves up metabolically for the whole rest of the day by doing that. Well, and that way,
No, go ahead. And that way what?
And that way we can, you know, we can actually get away with this longer feeding window of closer to 12 hours and still experience a lot of metabolic benefits.
Yeah. And for me, it just makes more sense. So I get my supplements. I think when you eat breakfast, you get a routine down too, that, that helps you just to not, you know, have cravings or get off track, if you will, or do this late night snacking. And I found that, so you said it affects your cardiovascular disease. Does it help with, and I didn't finish my thought, but I'll get back to it. Does it help with blood pressure? You said that it helped with cardiovascular disease. Why does it?
So it actually helps in all diseases that are related to our metabolism. So cardiovascular disease and diabetes, as well as obesity, are all basically in this family of what are considered chronic illnesses related to metabolism or metabolic disease. And so it's feeding through into the cardiovascular system through a few different mechanisms. One really important one is our insulin sensitivity, but also through how our immune system is functioning and through the production of free fatty acids in our blood.
Interesting. Well, you know, what I was going to say is it seems counterintuitive to not eat breakfast, and because you're fighting, you're basically fighting science. You're fighting the circadian rhythm. You're fighting the flow of the sun, if you will, you know, right? And all these other things. And I always feel like, I don't know if this is just some sort of psychological like trick I play with myself, but I feel like when I was not eating breakfast with my intermittent fasting and not eating till after 12 or 1 o'clock, that I almost justified, well, I can snack, you know, later into the evening because I didn't eat all morning, or I didn't, you know, I went so many hours without food.
It's also a very common sort of natural eating pattern for high stress individuals. So if your stress is not very well managed and your cortisol is really, really high in the evening, in the mornings, that can have a bit of an appetite suppressing effect in the morning. But if you're a really high stress individual, one of the best things you can do is eat breakfast, because that helps to blunt that spike in cortisol, which then can help regulate your stress responses throughout the rest of the day. And that is, it's sort of the old-fashioned term for that diet pattern is called sumo dieting, where most of your calories come in the last few hours of the day.
Well, it does make more sense to me. I don't know. Tina, what do you want to say?
Well, I think a lot of times they tell people to do it overnight and then just don't eat breakfast. Because that seems like the easier way to just kind of make
just
it work.
Do it.
Yeah,
to me, yeah.
Like just to get people to do it.
Right.
But now we know from what you're saying that it's better to do in the evening. But I find, like, for me, because my schedule is so nonstop all day.
As a personal trainer.
I'll train four or five people in a row, and then I have a little break. And I either got to eat or I want to work out. And so for someone like me that's, like, super active, and I've heard this from the woman that wrote the book, Stacey Sims, for Roar, about women athletes should never do intermittent fasting, and that we have to look at, and I think for women it's different because our metabolism, I mean, our hormone changes and our menstrual cycles kind of really affect how, you know, if we're not getting the food when we need it, it causes our cortisol levels to raise. And so I found for me, when I tried doing the fasting, I didn't have time during the rest of the day to even get enough calories in. So I was just, as a whole, I wasn't eating enough. And then I was just wiped out and exhausted, and my workouts were suffering and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of what I wanted to add in.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
No, that makes complete sense. And one of the challenges for women, a lot of these studies are done in men.
Right.
And it's because as soon as you add the menstrual cycle, it just adds this like extra random signal to everything. And you need much bigger numbers in your studies to be able to tease out an effect. So it's much cheaper to do these studies in just men. And it's even the rodent studies that all of this work is based on tends to be done in male rodents. And it's for the exact same reason. As soon as you add female hormones into the mix, you can get all kinds of crazy responses. But that's really important to keep in mind with a lot of these diet studies, because women's bodies do tend to respond differently, especially to signals that our bodies might interpret as a time of famine. So things like not eating breakfast or too low carb or too low calorie,
right.
Our bodies see that signal as, oh, you know, food is scarce. And it is, our bodies are very well programmed. We see this in hunter-gatherer populations in the world. When food is scarce, women lose their periods and become infertile because that's a very bad time to get pregnant because there's not enough resources to support a growing fetus. And we see that in some of the sort of severe caloric restriction studies or fasting mimicking diet studies, like the ketogenic diet studies, where women lose their periods. And it is because you're turning on some biochemistry that is not generally beneficial. There are certainly, you know, some exceptions to that rule. But for most of us just looking to lose weight, the better regulated our hormones are, the better off we are, and the more likely we are to lose fat instead of muscle, which is obviously the biggest part of this goal.
Oh, absolutely. So what are your tips for anyone who wants to try intermittent fasting for the first time?
So definitely eat a healthy and balanced breakfast. Try to get some fruits and vegetables in at breakfast as well so that you're really touching all of your major food groups. And then look at eating a really healthy dinner. You know, even an 8-hour feeding window is probably adequate to get all of those benefits. Look at eating dinner around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Make sure you're hydrating, make sure you're active, and make sure you're getting enough sleep, because all of those things are going to help your body not have an exaggerated stress response to this change in eating habits and are really, really important for also metabolism, insulin sensitivity, all of the other things that you're trying to do with this diet. And also remember that just because you're eating over a shorter period of time doesn't mean that unhealthy foods are suddenly going to become healthy. So it's also important to you know, eat whole foods, eat lots of fruits and vegetables, eat high quality proteins. Like those rules don't go away just because we're changing when we're eating.
It makes sense. It really does. And I really appreciate you jumping on the air with us today and you know, educating us on this subject. There's so much information around this subject, because it you know, when you're talking about fasting, a lot of times you end up talking about calorie restriction or entering into a state of ketosis. You talked about the ketogenic diet and all these things, and it can be very complicated.
It can be, and in part that's because of the fact that there's still so much to learn about how these different dietary strategies are impacting our biochemistry. There's still so many unanswered questions, and there are generally reasons studies are designed the way they are. So what we have now is studies done in limited populations, and we don't always know how a dietary strategy is going to actually translate to the general population. And so it's a shifting landscape. As more studies are done, we understand more, and then we can refine recommendations. This approach might be, you know, really great for one person and really not the right way to go for somebody else. And so it's important to take all of the information that you're hearing online with a very large grain of salt.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let me ask you this one more thing before we go to break. Does intermittent fasting improve brain function? Is that true?
It has not been shown in humans, no.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Did you read that it did somewhere?
I did read that in multiple places, yeah. And I've always been curious about it. And who better to ask than Dr. Sarah Ballantyne, PhD, by the age of 26, I might add. I've always been impressed with that. You know that. I think that's so cool. And love having you on the show. Can't wait for you to come back. And, you know, if you're in Dallas, come by the studio. We'll have you jump on the air with us. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to go to break, everyone. We'll be back. We've got Tina Burnett coming up. How much of aging is in our control? I think a lot of it. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about it. LA, on a Saturday night in the summer, sundown and they all come out. Lamborghinis and they rented hummus. The party's on, so they're heading downtown. Everybody's looking for a come up. Everybody get up.
Got Tina dancing.
I love this song. I never get tired of this song.
I know. How did you know that, Ronaldo? They know.
He just knew by my moves.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. Navi Mendoza and Tina Burnett is in studio with us. She's a trainer. She's an amazing trainer, but she has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She also is certified in biomechanics, and she is part of the aerobics. Every time I say that, and Fitness Association in America, all I can see is you like
the socks,
it's not even around anymore. That's such an old thing. We probably should just scratch that.
I know. We probably should scratch that.
I want to see photos.
It's fun just to talk about it, right? Oh my gosh. What, you know, Tina's an incredible trainer. In fact, she trained me. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. Yep. Yeah. And I got a really good workout in. I'm doing much better. And I'm happy about that. I am. Exercise is so important. And Tina has been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs for individuals and groups in the gym and in the home. She has been named top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. And you can contact her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. But you don't even have any room on your schedule anymore. She's booked solid.
I'm pretty much not taking in on any new clients at this moment.
Well, you know what? That's
change,
a great problem,
a problem
to have.
I'm good. I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't need to be any busier.
Yeah, there you go.
It's all good.
Well, I love what we're talking about today. And this is for guys and gals, by the way. How much of aging is in our control? I say 100%, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
When do guys start worrying about aging?
Well,
they don't. Do they ever?
Well, they are getting a little
more vain.
Some guys maybe more than others, you know, but yeah. I don't.
Men just have to worry about making a lot of money. That's what they have to do to get the attention that they want from women,
that's
right?
That's their number one stress.
Yeah. What does that say about women?
Able to provide?
What does that say about women, really? Think about that.
Women.
Not all women. I'm not like that. You're not like that.
No.
Are you? You like that?
What? That it's all about finances?
That wants a guy with money more than anything.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Love comes first.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you can be married to a very wealthy man and be very miserable.
I know, right?
I know quite a few of those. Not mentioning any names. But no, it's true.
It is true. Okay.
Anyway, let's not.
Right, I was just
let's
wondering.
Not go there.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
But piss anybody
it is.
Off.
But it is true. It really is. You know. And I think women have more pressure. They do. I don't think. I know. I'm a woman. I live on the planet. You know. Women are under more pressure to maintain their youthful looks than men. Period.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. But
look at all the magazines out there.
Oh, I know. So you know what's the difference between chronological and biological age?
Okay, so chronological age is actually how old you are.
Right, of course.
Of course. Biological is basically like physiologically, or you're sometimes called your real age. And that considers lifestyle factors and health markers and kind of what's going on inside of you physiologically, not your actual age. Because some people can be 60 but have physiological age of 50 if they take care
or
of
younger.
Themselves or younger,
yeah.
You know, and it really truly is all about lifestyle. And so there's an article where it talks about Kenneth Cooper at Cooper Clinic here in Dallas. You know, have you ever seen those online age things where you plug in like all this information about yourself and it tells you how old you actually are?
Really?
Yeah, I've done one of those before. Aviana, have you seen those before?
I think so. I'm thinking of like the dumb BuzzFeed quizzes, like choose your favorite foods and I'll tell you how old you are or something.
This one's actually like an online age calculator. Where you go in and you answer all these questions. Like it told me, and I did it, I think I did it when I did it like 3 years ago. And I'm 53, I have no problem telling my age. But I was like 50 and it told me I had the body or the physiological age of like a 27-year-old or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that's me. Unfortunately, Dr. Cooper says that those things aren't really, they're not worth much.
They're not
really very accurate. But what he thinks that what's important is about the heart. And so this might apply to you because, Bernadette, because he talks about the calcification of coronary arteries being the best and most consistent way to measure physiological age. Because if you think about it, you know, I mean, if you're exercising and you're eating right and you're not smoking and you're doing the things you should, you shouldn't be having you know, premature calcification in your arteries.
I don't have that. I just have high blood pressure, to my knowledge.
Right, but that can cause.
But it's from a lot of things. It's from me being. I mean, oh God. I mean, I could spill the beans here and just tell you everything that contributed to it. But you, no need to go into all that. But it's from just unbelievable stress. Stress I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
and I've cleaned it up.
You have, and I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
You're floating, you're getting massages, you're
back
into your workouts.
Back into my workouts. My diet was never really a problem, but you know when you do get a little off kilter from stress, you know, and you're stressing out, you do overdrink, you overeat, you're just like scrambling around trying to just survive. Yeah. And things can get in the way of your health, but you can't let it. And they do affect your chronological or your biological age.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So
how can one measure biological age? What are some of the things that they use to measure it?
Well, I mean, you know, you could go get scanned or whatever. I mean, if you know, like you said, if you look at the arterial age, as Cooper calls it, you know, they have ways to test to see if you have some calcification. I mean, I kind of think, you know, I don't think you can like any on your own somehow do it, but
but
you know, there's, if you look at what plays a role in keeping our heart young, keeping our arteries clean.
There's a lot of things.
The top five key contributors are eating a healthy diet, exercising regularly, like I've been saying, don't smoke, drink only moderation, and maintain a healthy weight. Those are kind of
there's other stuff that's not on there that's really important.
I know, and I'm going to get to that.
Like being in a loving relationship.
Well, and basically,
that's proven.
Managing stress,
managing stress,
which encompasses
everything. You have to have a vivacious sex life. I'm serious.
Well, it is true.
Sex is it's part of life, and a good loving relationship with lots of sex makes you healthier and younger.
Okay, let me ask you this then.
Okay,
so they were on Kiss FM.
Careful now.
Kelly and Al, they were all talking about what's the average amount of times that most married couples have sex a week. How many times do you think it is?
Oh, I know. It's crazy. I was going to say by a month. I know married couples that have sex like once every couple of months.
Oh, well, they said it was once a week.
Even being married? I mean, right?
I agree, but you know, think about it. When you're working and you both got your jobs and you're busy, or you have kids, and you get home and you fall into bed and you're exhausted. You know, I mean, it's just. I think as time goes on, and you've been married for a few years, it does tend to drop off.
Of course,
as far as you have sex, because you know, you got lives, you got kids, you're busy, and you're tired, and you know, so.
Go ahead, Tina.
She's like, where do I go now?
She dug herself into a hole. I'm joking.
All right, so let's talk about the eight healthy tips for longevity.
Moving on.
Asking for a friend.
No. Oh, my gosh. Okay. You know what? This is a good time to go to break. Yeah. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this because there's a lot that you need to know. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Where you been? I could show you. Madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake. Love's a game, wanna play. Love it.
That's another good one.
I know. Ronaldo's killing it.
He's some oldies but goodies.
Yeah, he's our new board op and he's killing it. I love having him on board. And there's so many great people here at iHeartMedia. There is. And we got one of them. So I want to let everybody know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or you can go straight to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. We've got some exciting news about a lot of our sponsors have new products out, like Enviromedica has three new products out for your immune system. The one that I've been promoting the most is a TerraFlora Deep Immune, which is formulated with LC plasma, a unique probiotic clinically tested to activate the plasmacytoid. That's it. No, seriously. And it's known as the commander in chief of the immune system. And it's got, and these are all spore based too. So in our, it's our first and our second lines of defense out there fighting the coronavirus that everybody is so worried about. But eating clean is easy. It really is. With companies like Sun Warrior, if you're on the ketogenic diet, they have a product. It's called Clean Keto, and it's vegan and plant-based. So if you want to, even if you're on the ketogenic diet and you want to eat a little more plant-based, I highly recommend this. It's 72% fat, 22% protein, 6% net carb, and 7 grams of fiber. And of course, it's organic, dairy-free, vegan, soy-free, no sugar added. All their products are like that. They're amazing. Check them out at sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off. I got some magnesium yesterday in the mail when I got my new, what's it called? The new super green. What's it? You've got it.
Clean greens and protein.
Clean greens and protein.
Yep.
You can download the Sun Warrior app. That's the only place you
can
get it.
There,
it tastes amazing, you guys. And if it's hard for you to get more vegetables in your diet, that is a great way to start the morning. That's what I did yesterday. I had one of those shakes and I got my protein and my greens, right out of the gate. My amino acids, so I was prepared.
Is that a protein shake or something you add to your protein shake, the greens?
It's the protein.
It's the protein.
It's a protein. It's got greens in it.
It's Tahitian vanilla. It's excellent. It's a really good product. And, because I wanted to be ready for my workout. I had to have all my essential amino acids to get a great workout out, to build muscle.
If you drink a protein shake in the morning, you drink one after you work out, like, is that... Okay. Or should you wait to drink your shake in the morning until after you work out?
Well, I always say it depends on what workout you're doing, in my opinion.
So if you're
just going to do cardio, like some cardio in the morning,
fasting,
and you're trying to lose body fat, do it on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
And then have your protein as soon as you can after you work out. But if you're going to do like a really hard weight training, a high intensity, like kind of heavy lifting, do it, have something before, especially protein and some good carbs, but have it, give yourself a minimum of an hour and a half, I think.
To let it settle.
Yeah.
Before you work out.
Because you don't want your blood going all to your stomach to digest the food and not go to your muscles. And also a lot of people do that and then they start getting nauseous and they're like, oh, I shouldn't have had that shake. Yeah. Well, you should have given yourself, at least 2 hours. I have to have at least 2 hours if I have a shake or a food or anything before I work out.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I like to work out on an empty stomach.
Good to know. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. Well, I love having you in studio. Tina's been on the show for a very long time. If you're just now joining us, we were talking today about how much of aging is in our control. We only have a couple of minutes. I know that you have some healthy tips to ensure good health and longevity. What are they, Tina?
All right. Number one, maintain a healthy weight and body composition. So I always like to say body composition because when people look at the scale, we were just talking about that. You know, none of us even have scales. But just maintaining healthy weight, and if you have a way to look in the mirror. If you got a lot of fluff, you know, that's extra body fat.
Yep.
You know, you need to get muscle mass up and body fat down. Number two, make healthy food choices most of the time. So it's at least 80% of the time. You know, make the right choices. We've said it over and over and over. Y'all know how to eat. Lots of vegetables, good solid proteins, healthy fats, limited sugar, carbs, and processed foods. All right. Number three, exercise most days a week. Aim to exercise for 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, if you can.
I don't even think you need to do that because I think it puts too much pressure on you, especially
if it's just
15.
I do 15 here, 15 there. This is kind of like if you can just do 15 minutes in the morning and maybe 15 minutes later, like kind of what
that's what I've been doing.
Yeah,
I've been doing a 2 minute warm up, a 2 minute cool down, 15 minutes mostly out of the saddle on my spin bike.
Yeah,
and it feels great, and I get it done, I knock it out. And I'm done for the day, you know? And if I get time to lift a little weights or, you know, shoot some hoops or do something to get my body moving, typically I don't need to get my body moving. I have so much responsibility with all those animals that I'm constantly running around.
The more active you can be, the better, basically.
Yeah.
Take the number four, take the right supplements. So we know we need to eat good, but like you and I know, it's hard to get all the nutrition in that you need just in the food you eat.
Yep.
So, but don't just go randomly pick some that you think sound good. You know, if you can, if you can, you know, see somebody that can tell you what you need supplement wise, especially if you're active and you're working out a lot, you need to make sure you're getting in. You know, I mean, my top ones are magnesium, and that everybody should take.
Mm-hmm.
A B complex.
Yep.
Preferably a vitamin D.
Oh,
most
gosh.
People are
vitamin D for sure.
Vitamin D.
Berberine, turmeric. And, you know, I was just looking at this keto product by Sun Warrior. They have omega 3, 6, and 9s in here, and a pretty substantial amount. Omegas are important, and it's a complete amino acid profile, and you need that, too, to build muscle.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, you need the amino acids. Okay. Number five, don't use tobacco. Duh.
Yeah.
I don't need to even go any further with that. We all know that. Number six, control alcohol. Keep it in moderation.
Yep.
Not a bottle of wine a night.
Right.
You know, one little glass of drink. One drink per day is considered moderate.
No more than 6 ounces.
And then the last one is manage stress. Actually, that's not the main. Manage stress, which we know, use meditation, massage, float, whatever you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then number eight is get regular physical exams. That's someone else's opinion,
yeah. Who
not
wrote
mine.
That?
This
yeah.
is yeah.
Okay.
This is an article that I read out of MyFitnessPal.
Yeah.
And I don't like that one.
Yeah,
because
I don't
that's
like that
like
one
go, don't you don't need to go to
yeah,
the doctor.
You don't need to go to the doctor
unless you're dying.
Unless you're dying.
For something. You do need to go to the doctor for certain things, like a broken bone and all that. Maybe for some nice diagnostics, but be careful. Because you don't want
to... Get your blood work done. That's
get your blood work done.
See what's going on.
See where you're lacking.
All right.
That's how you can figure out your supplements.
Thank you so much, Tina Burnett. Always a pleasure. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.